Being a marketer is no sweat. You just have to manage dozens of channels, launch hundreds of campaigns, score thousands of leads, and okay, fine, it's a lot of sweat. Unless you have HubSpot's AI-powered marketing tools to help you do all that and more. Get started at HubSpot.com/marketers.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
He got a hold of something there. Let's see. Yeah, he got that face mask.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Vikings fans are going, what the hell?
You know, it looked like he got a pretty good amount of face masks there.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The face mask, it is what it is. I thought we could have done a lot to not put ourselves in the situation that we were in.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson, second gentleman of the United States, Doug Emhoff, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this program. You know, we're rolling with punches here. The Steelers said Russell Wilson will zoom into this program. They're getting off the practice field. We're going to find out if he's joining us this hour or the next hour. And we hope those are the hours in which he does, in fact, zoom in.
All right.
The second gentleman of the United States from the campaign trail wanted to zoom in and talk about the Rams. And I go way back like a car seat with him. So I'll explain all that later on in hour number three when Doug Emhoff joins us. 844-204-RICH is, in fact, the number to dial on this program. We just had a nice little fun, what's more likely, or, you know, put another word on it, Chris Brockman pops off about things that he wanted to pop off about.
Oh, I take umbrage to that.
You take umbrage about Mahomes and Drake May being in the same sentence.
Well, they've each done something unique.
They have. Which is what? What has Mahomes done that's unique?
Patrick Mahomes is the only quarterback in the NFL right now who has yet to throw an October touchdown pass. I think that's pretty eye-popping, don't you?
Okay.
For someone who is perennially, who I put on Mount Rushmore two Super Bowl wins ago. Yes. Just want that on the record, Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
And Drake May joined Dan Marino as the only quarterbacks in NFL history. I'll repeat that. Joined Dan Marino as the only quarterbacks in NFL history with 500 pass yards and five touchdown passes in their first two career games.
The Chiefs have only played two games in October.
So there's that.
All right.
He didn't throw a touchdown in either one. When was the last time Mahomes went back-to-back weeks without a touchdown pass?
All right. Just pointing out that Mahomes has only played two games in October.
Okay. So. I mean, he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in October.
Yeah, just two games in October.
Okay.
They got two dubs?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tom Pelissero's here, everybody. Tommy P, everyone.
Hey.
How are you, Tom? Can you hear me? We're good?
I hear you, Rich. Yeah, what's up to my boys in the studio?
Hey, Tommy P. New home studio? Is that what this is?
It is the new home studio, although the backdrop is the exact same one. Just the lighting is a little bit better. Yeah. I've been told if I don't shave, it becomes very apparent that I have not shaved. And so it's actually improved my grooming habits as well as the look of the shot.
Well, I mean, beard anyway.
Listen, I know you compete with Adam Schefter for information and being first and things of that nature and accuracy. Now you're competing with him in terms of information men for whom it's obvious they haven't shaved. You know, I mean, that's... He's up there, but although Schefter's shave line starts right under his eyelids.
Right. I don't have that curse of like the full werewolf beard up every night, which is why I was so surprised the first time that I showed up on Good Morning Football without having shaved, and I was asked, "Are you growing a goatee?"
Oh.
So this is, I mean, fantastic work by all the folks back there, Mike Cunningham and John Bonacorso and everybody who built this studio. It's really, really a sensational setup.
Giving shout outs.
Rich, also, Adam doesn't have the camera angles that Tom has.
I've tried.
But then the next time it was bad again. So.
I tried. Tom, let's jump into it here. Is now Cooper Kupp off of, or... Was he ever on a trade block, or is now Les Snead going to have blocked calls for him? Tom, what do we have?
I mean, last night figured as a really big game. If the Rams lose, if maybe there's a flag thrown for a face mask, or the Vikings drive for a touchdown, maybe we're in a little bit different spot. I think that you saw what the Rams thought that they had coming into the season, which was if they have Kupp on the field, if they have Puka on the field, and obviously Matthew Stafford, they still can create a lot of mismatches, and they've got a really efficient type of an offense. And you witnessed that last night, despite extraordinarily, maybe unprecedented, limited practice for Puka Nacua. And then obviously Cooper Kupp coming off of a 5-6 week layoff himself. Here's what I would tell you on the trade front. The Rams had been engaged in trade calls in really over the past couple of weeks here. Certainly, it had gotten to the point of other teams being aware of what the potential compensation would be in a trade. The Rams wanting something in the neighborhood of a second round pick, maybe a little bit more for Cooper Kupp. That's above the price level that we're seeing with a lot of these other trades, because Davante Adams was basically a third round pick. Amari Cooper was a little bit less, all told, than a third round pick. DeAndre Hopkins was a fifth. That's kind of the bandwidth you normally see with these trades when you're talking about in the season. The last guy I think that got traded for a second round pick was Chase Claypool, which is an entirely other conversation. But Cooper Kupp's, 31 years old, and he's been hurt 3 years in a row. It's hard to sit there as another team and say we're going to give up a second round pick and maybe more for the guy. So it never advanced to the point of this is about to get done. But certainly, they had those trade conversations. You watch it last night, you look at the state of the NFC West, and you kind of get that sense. I'm sure Sean McVay had it of like, why can't we make a run? They may need to add, they're in, and this is part of the one function of the later trade deadline, because this is the first year that it's been pushed back even another week. And you have teams like the Rams who might have thought were out of it. And all of a sudden now you're going, do we need to be buyers instead? That's why the advisory committee had advocated for either a week, if not two additional weeks, to the trade deadline, which was just get more information about what type of team you are so you can decide which side of the fence you're on. Flip side of that, the reason the competition committee always had pumped the brakes on putting a later trade deadline is you don't want teams to really know they're bad and go total fire sale and impact competitive balance and impact the matchups that happen the back half of the year. But to the extent that everybody loves trades, we've had a half dozen of them so far. I would fairly guess if I had to put an over-under on it, we'll probably have a half dozen more over these next couple of weeks here. It's entertaining, and you're going to continue to get action as teams kind of try to figure out which side of this they're on.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. So no Jaden Daniels when the media's out there. And then the media meets with Coach Quinn, and he's like, oh, yeah, we put him out there, and we pushed it pretty hard, too. And he's now designated as limited going into this Sunday game, highly anticipated against the Bears and the guy drafted right in front of him in Caleb Williams. What's your reporting on Jaden Daniels' ability to be available for that one?
When you're talking about a rib injury, Rich, and it's not a broken rib, you're talking about something a little bit more nuanced here. A lot of it is just about functionality. It's about, can he go out there? Can he make the types of movement he needs to? And so the Commanders' approach all week was, let's see if we can get him on the practice field on Friday. Let's see how his body responds, and then let's try to push it. Dan Quinn said today, they'll see how he feels over these next 48 hours, which basically makes it a game time type decision. I believe the Commanders will have a very good idea by tomorrow morning what direction this is going to go. You always want to be careful when you're talking about young quarterbacks and putting them out on the field when they haven't had a whole lot of work through the practice week here. But it still might be, Rich, a little bit early to kind of crystal ball it. You'd probably say, just based on the reps through the week, that Marcus Mariota is more likely to start this game. But I the Commanders have not ruled out Jaden Daniels. I wouldn't totally rule that out just yet, especially because that guy's going to want to be on the field and he's going to be pushing to play.
And so who is going to be playing in Dallas at San Francisco? A lot of bold-faced names that are either expected to miss and are hoping to come back in time to go on Sunday night. Run it down for me, Tom.
Well, I know the Cowboys had been optimistic that Micah Parsons would get back for this game. Not practicing the first couple of days of the week isn't necessarily a great omen for that. So, to keep an eye on the participation today to see whether or not he's going to be able to go. On the flip side of it, the 49ers aren't going to shed any tears for the Cowboys having a few injuries, because it's unbelievable. I mean, it's basically their entire team. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk is out for the season with the torn ACL and MCL. Debo was in the hospital for a night or two with something resembling pneumonia. He got released, was back on the practice field yesterday. Sounds like he's tracking to play in the game. McCaffrey still You know, the target really over the last month here has been getting back after this week's bye. So I believe it's November 10th would be his potential return date. Jordan Mason's been banged up, but you know, he played last week. Seems like he's going to be okay to go. George Kittle got back onto the field, at least on a limited basis yesterday. There's probably going to be a lot of guys listed as questionable for this game, Rich. It seems like, though, you know, in terms of the most concerning ones like Debo, you know, last week, I mean, there's not a lot of examples I can think of where a guy has fluid in his lungs and is struggling to breathe and he's active on game day and has to drop out. You know, the fact that he was hospitalized for this, you know, it's a scary type of a situation, but certainly seems like Debo's, you know, charting a good course to be back on the field. And they're going to need him because I forgot to mention Juwan Jennings, who I know they were optimistic going into the week he might be back. No practice for him Wednesday or Thursday. Now sounds like he's doubtful to go.
And Kittle's been limited with a foot injury. Is he going to go? Is he expected to go Sunday night? Tom?
It's a foot sprain. Got back on the field yesterday. Seems like it's headed a good direction. You know, I feel like Kittle's been questionable for about half the games this year. Most of the time he's played. So, you know, tough dude. He's going to push himself to be out there. But another one where you just kind of got to see how does his body respond here over these next 24 hours before they make a final call.
And now, I don't know if you know the answer to this. I'll ask it anyway. Tua's been named the starter. It's official. He's back. Why no guardian cap for him? Do you know anything about his thought process on this subject matter? Tom?
Well, part of it is, Rich, that the NFL, through their programs, has invested a lot of money into programs to basically fund the development of position-specific helmets and safer helmets. Every year they put out that, you know, that list from the safest helmet to the least safe helmet, and those ones down there in the danger zone are kind of cycled out. You have a final year, you can still wear that helmet, which, based on where we are with technology, it always surprises me there's some guys who choose to be grandfathered in. Some of the newer position-specific helmets that are actually safer than a normal helmet with a guardian cap on top of it. So that's part of the reason you haven't seen as many guardian caps. I think there's only maybe a half dozen or a dozen players that have worn them this year with Tua, again, because you've had that development. And, you know, to give you like the short version of it, obviously materials get better, but there is also a mechanical aspect to this, an engineering aspect to it, where you'll see now some of the offensive linemen, for instance, they have these big things up in the front of the helmet. That's because a lot of the helmet, the head contact they get, it's in a headbutt situation right as the ball is snapped each time. With quarterbacks, it's some of the padding and the different things they do around the back of the helmet, the side of the helmet, because that's how quarterbacks a lot of times are hitting their heads. And so it's probably not a huge surprise. I think that, you know, listening to Tua, he was obviously very passionate about why he's getting back onto the field. This was, you know, tracking this direction over the last couple of weeks that he was going to be back on the field. You know, the key things, and the Dolphins emphasized this today, is that he consulted leading specialists, medical experts around the country. Nobody told him that it's not safe or recommended you retire from football. He made his decision in concert with his doctors as well as with his family. He wants to be on the field. He was cleared by the independent neurologist yesterday after practice. You know, Mike McDaniel's got to, as we talked about last week, Rich, he's got to bear that burden of, once again, you know, he's coaching a quarterback who he can't get hit. You can't call the types of plays that other coordinators can, where it's all right, every now and then you take, you know, you get blasted by a free rusher, you got to stand in and make the throw. They can't do that with Tua. I'm sure they're going to have a really good plan for him. Everything that I've heard is in practice. Now, these are, you know, you don't touch the quarterback in practice, but non-contact during this week, Tua is ripping the ball all over the field. He's hitting bombs. The Tyreek Hill is a little bit banged up too, but it sounds like he's going to be able to go this week. Tua looks like Tua. In practice, they've obviously got to keep him upright. He's got to keep himself out of harm's way, but he's going to be back out there, and we'll see, you know, how quickly he hit the ground running against the Cardinals.
Tom Pelissero, my colleague from the NFL Network, NFL Media Group, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your chatter with anybody from Kansas City about DeAndre Hopkins, the amount we'll see him, and how they think they can use him. How he will fit, anything. Open your reporter's book on DeAndre Hopkins joining the two-time defending Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl
champs.
Well,
what's fascinating about this one, Rich, is, you know, it had been, this is one that had been percolating basically for over a year, because DeAndre Hopkins had a lot of talks with the Chiefs after he got released by the Cardinals prior to signing with the Titans about potential there. The Titans were able to step up with an offer. Mike Vrabel is a guy that he was familiar with. He chose Tennessee. Obviously, Vrabel is no longer there. The Titans are going into a rebuilding type of a phase right now, even though they're still trying to win. But the Chiefs see a guy. You know, I had one GM say this to me this week when talking about you know, some of the other wide receivers who are potentially available. And he said, you know, I'd rather have Hopkins than a lot of these guys because he can still run. Hop has dealt with some injuries. He had another one in camp this year, missed about 4 weeks of action. But, you know, he's a freaky athlete now. He can move. And they've lost so many guys in that Chiefs wide receiver core that it makes a lot of sense. I mean, when you think back through the course of this season, obviously Rashee Rice was their leading receiver. He's lost for the rest of the season. You have Juju now who gets banged up. He was a guy that they brought in to help fill some of the gaps. He's out. Mecole Hardman's out. This puts Sky Moore on injured reserve. I mean, that's if you were charting their depth chart, if you toss Juju in there, that's like four of your top six or seven receivers. They just need, you know, functional bodies. You know, with Hopkins, he's never been, I'll say this as kindly as I can, he's never been a big practice player. He prefers to play in games. I would imagine that they're going to put him through the paces, make sure that he knows enough of the playbook that he can get out there and give him something. Andy Reid said it himself. Why wait? You know, I think that saying he's going to play 70 snaps is probably a little bit aggressive here, but I wouldn't be surprised at all, even though it's a really hard position to join midstream, get the rhythm and timing and tempo that's so critical to NFL passing offenses. I would not be surprised at all if you see Hopkins play a good chunk of snaps right out of the gate.
I also would be surprised if they keep on, you know, keep on at the in the trade market, right? I mean, that this would not be the only thing they do. Because, I mean, you're right there. You're 6-0. You're in the middle of your potential first-ever three-peat season. It strikes me that they'll be aggressive. The Eagles are always aggressive. You've got that. I'm wondering how this trade market is shaping up. Election Day, we all talk about, that's 10 days away or 11 days away right now. That's the trade deadline day. So you can utilize that as sort of your football mentality as well. How is this shaping up in your mind, Tom?
Well, for the Chiefs, definitely they're going to continue to be in the market. You know, if it makes sense for them, they're not going to go out and, you know, blow all their future draft picks. But if there's something that makes sense, absolutely. Brett Veach has shown that over the course of time that he's willing to do it. You know, another corner would be a potential thing that the Chiefs could target here. Obviously, trade away L'Jarius Sneed in the offseason. They could probably use at minimum some depth at that position. Depending on what keeps happening with the wide receivers, you know, could they go out and add another wide receiver? I don't know that it's going to be another big name type of a guy. You know, I think that the Chiefs were kind of the boogeyman for everybody who was shopping a wide receiver in recent weeks. It was like, hey, the Chiefs might come get him if you don't step up and, right, and make the trade for Hopkins. That probably settles a little bit. But again, with all their injuries, you know, that wouldn't totally shock me. In terms of some other teams that are going to be in that market, I would certainly tell you that the Pittsburgh Steelers have been, you know, involved on every wide receiver trade talk that's happened so far this season. Now that Russell Wilson's in the lineup, that passing game is probably going to get opened up a little bit more here. You saw how that unlocked George Pickens last week. I certainly believe, you know, they're not going to go and you know, bust the bank either to go out and get somebody. But if there's, you know, the right opportunity, absolutely, they're going to be in that mix. I know John Lynch was on the radio today saying he thinks that they've got plenty at wide receiver. But, you know, let's be honest, Kyle Shanahan, a former wide receiver, he thrives on getting people open. We'll see how Ricky Pearsall continues to develop. But if the right guy becomes available at the wide receiver position, would not shock me if San Francisco was involved in that. The Bucs losing Chris Godwin and not having Mike Evans for the next 4 weeks, that's another team. You know, I don't see them making the huge move, but could they make a move at that position? Absolutely, I think that's the case. You know, some of the other layers to this trade deadline are, if you zoom out and think some of the big picture things with various teams. For instance, the Browns and the Raiders both lost a quarterback this week. The Browns, of course, lost Deshaun Watson. Dorian Thompson-Robinson's also banged up. But then the Raiders put Aiden O'Connell on IR with a thumb injury that's going to keep him out for 4 to 6 weeks here. I think it's fair to say neither of those teams are 100% confident or should be 100% confident that they've got the long-term answer on their roster. You know, the Raiders, it's Aiden O'Connell and it's Gardner Minshew. I think that realistically, you know, they have Desmond Ridder, who they just added, signed him off the Arizona practice squad. I think realistically, they're going to be in the quarterback mix in 2025. The Browns, even though they're committed for another 2 years, $92 million to Deshaun Watson, you know, my sense is with the way that he was playing, the way that he was struggling, how inefficient they were offensively and in the passing game, that the Browns are probably going to have to look into the quarterback market in 2025, regardless, whether it's drafting somebody, you know, if that's a high pick, a mid-round pick, whether that's signing somebody else. Maybe Jameis plays great down the stretch and you bring him back. But when you have those types of big picture needs, it always says to me, are there opportunities short term to go out and maybe take a shot on somebody now instead of waiting until March, whether that is going and try to swing a trade for Bryce Young, who the Panthers are not going to give away. He's starting this week. And, you know, you have to feel on some level for Bryce Young. He gets benched back after week two, watches Andy Dalton go out, win the first game. Then they lose four in a row. Dalton's in a car accident with his family, sprains his thumb. So all of a sudden Bryce, not because the Panthers wanted to put him back on the field, but because they had to put him back on the field. He's now going into Denver with no Deontay Johnson, no Adam Thielen against the Vance Joseph defense that's been kicking everybody's. You know, but in other words, if there's an opportunity there, why wouldn't you call out a Bryce Young? Why wouldn't you, you know, if you're interested in a Zach Wilson, somebody else? You know, those are some of the other the macro types of things that could happen here. It's not all about, you know, the contenders. That's a big piece of it. The contenders going out and getting somebody, even if it's a lower profile move, like, you know, the Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks gave up a player and a fourth round pick for Ernest Jones. You don't see trades like that for inside linebackers, especially during the season, but they really felt like they needed an upgrade, so they were aggressive with it. You also could have some of those teams that are kind of looking already down the line, 2025, going, you know, if there's a buy low type of opportunity now, maybe it's worth taking a shot.
And then in the couple minutes I have left, is it possible big name defenders are on the move? If the Browns lose, Vegas loses again. You know, the rumor mills red hot about Myles Garrett and Max Crosby being available for the right price, which would be very high rent district, I'm sure. But break down that in the couple minutes I have left for you, Tom.
The theme that I have heard from talking to people around the league is for a lot of those teams that are kind of on that brink of their 2024 season being over, there's usually one guy who they're not going to move. It's kind of, hey, look at the rest of the roster. We're not going to move that guy. The Browns, I'm not shocked by much these days, Rich. I would be shocked if they move Myles Garrett. He's just too much of a core piece to everything that they do. I do think the Browns would move a lot of other players on their roster. They already moved Amari Cooper. I would certainly anticipate they're going to get calls on guys like Za'Darius Smith, you know, a player like Greg Newsome, who maybe potentially could be available. You know, there's other guys, Elijah Moore, could somebody call about him, the wide receiver? But I don't think they're moving Myles Garrett. The Raiders, I mean, Max Crosby is the face of the Raiders right now. I know how close Mark feels he is with Max Crosby. You know, Max steered them. I mean, Max was ready to demand a trade if they didn't hire Antonio Pierce to be the head coach. He's a big reason AP has that job, to say now you're going to turn around and trade Max Crosby. Not impossible, but it would surprise me. And then, you know, to throw in one more, Tennessee with Jeff Simmons. You know, they made two trades this week, Hopkins and Ernest Jones. You know, Jeff Simmons is the one that I imagine they're going to get a lot of calls on. It would surprise me just because he's such a big leader. He's such a fantastic player. You know, that would send a message that this is a complete and total teardown here. But I think there's calls on all those guys because there's too many teams right now, whether it is a Detroit that lost Aiden Hutchinson, whether it's Dallas that's still shorthanded. There's enough teams that need edge rushers. Everybody always can use edge rush help. I think there's going to be calls on some of those big ticket items. I don't know that sitting here right now, 11 days out, I see one of those names being moved. But there's only about a dozen players, Rich, in the entire league who you can't have no matter what you offer. You offer three first-round picks for anybody, you maybe at least can strike up a conversation.
Tommy P., thank you, sir. Great stuff, as always. Thanks for making us wiser, smarter, and joining us on a Friday on the Rich Eisen Show. Be well. See you soon.
Appreciate it, Rich.
Tom Pelissero. Follow him on Instagram and the X Machine and all that stuff. Right here on the program.
Love it.
Myles Garrett.
Going nowhere.
Max Crosby.
Nowhere.
Stop. Nowhere.
Stop it.
Now
nowhere.
Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp.
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
That's it.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Oh, by the way, Russell Wilson has landed.
Hey.
Top of hour three.
Fantastic.
Top of hour three.
What airport did he land out of?
Newark.
Oh.
I can't wait to ask him about that.
I see LaGuardia was named the best airport in the country.
They've redone it. They've remade it. It's pretty cool there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what's not?
Newark.
That's right.
Newark.
Back in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at AmericanExpress.com/AmexBusiness.
What goes through your mind when you hear everybody wants one of you?
You know, it's flattering and humbling, Rich, but it's a result of the success we've had as a team. And, you know, it's nice. Just like, you know, but you know what, though? It is true, though. Like, we got great coaches on our staff. We got good players. It's a great reflection of our organization and what we've done. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing. And to see guys that we've worked with over the last couple of years get opportunities with Matt and with Zach Taylor, you know, they're deserving of it because of what they've done on their own merit. And when they go in and compete for jobs, people say, man, we can see this guy leading our organization. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing those guys thrive.
Have you told Kingsbury that he has the job because of you too?
No, sure, that's the that. Cliff got his deal on his own.
Okay, no, I'm sure he did. I mean, you had you were knocking on his door too to join your staff. I know that. So you
well,
I
know he, you, when you, he was
you pantsed him according to
I got
told,
him good, didn't I?
Yeah, you,
that was
I
pretty
think
good.
You told that to Schefter that
I
you,
did.
You totally. What did you do to him?
Well, basically, you know, we he obviously has a pre-existing relationship with Patrick Mahomes. He was out here doing some things, and Cliff was having dinner with him and a group of people, and we have a mutual friend, and I tricked him into thinking that, you know, he was tampering and that he was going to lose some picks. It was
that's what you changed somebody's name yeah. in your phone to Roger Goodell.
I did. Our mutual friend, he yeah,
so it showed
I couldn't
up
let
on
this,
phone.
I couldn't let this
funny,
go on
man.
Too long. So
funny.
Our mutual friend, a guy named Chaz Gessner, I put his number in my phone as Roger Goodell and had him send me a text that said, you know, hey, this is tampering. You know better than this. You guys are both, you know, and I showed it to Kingsbury and I said, you know, Mr. Goodell, he never texts me. I said, you better call Steve Kine right now. And his face, he was like, he said, I thought I was going to throw up. He's like, that's wrong. I mean, I couldn't let it go on for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah, you could've had it.
It was a good but a bad joke, man. Okay. I mean, he's like, you ruined dinner, man.
It's been 5 years since McVay's been here. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com. Or just stop by. Gents, I'm going to stir something up.
Oh, baby.
Speak dirty.
No, it's this guy over there. I just know that what I'm going to say is going to rile up the analytics community.
Uh-oh.
And that's a tight-knit community because they know the numbers, they know the math, they know the odds, they know the
Nerds.
They know, well, they know, nerds. They know the whole spiel backwards and forwards, and then folks like me stroll in. Mm-hmm. And institute words like gut and feel and things of that nature. And, you know,
I think that's when things can clash.
No, there's always a balance. And even the analytics community admits there's a balance. But I tweeted this out. I tweeted this out during the London game between the Jaguars and the Patriots.
Okay.
And I said, I just do not understand going for two before you have to. Because the Patriots did that in London. You remember what I'm talking about in this game? The Patriots went for two in this game, didn't get it, and now needed to get an extra score, right? They tried to get it down to seven when all they had to do was get it down to eight, and they missed it, and now they're at nine. And I'm like, why are we doing that? And the answer I always get back from the analytics community is because you now know what you need, rather than leaving it up to fate at the very end. If you don't make the two at the very end to tie it, now you're screwed. But if you do it early enough, you know that you have to go for it. Multiple times, you know the play calls it. Like, you have a better roadmap of how to map out your final quarter or your fate. And my answer to that is, if you just went for the extra point and you made it a one-score game that does require you to go for two at the end, doesn't that put the pressure on Jacksonville to have to actually make the plays to make sure you don't get the ball back? Doesn't that now, to your benefit, say the comeback is on, momentum's on our side? You know what I'm saying?
I do.
On this front?
I do. Jacksonville also had a weird situation in that game where Doug went for it on the goal line up 14 when he could have just kicked a field goal and made it a three-score game, kind of left the door slightly open for New England. But in terms of what you're saying early in the game, I really don't get it either. I would rather just take points. Like, when teams, you know, go for it, do it, kind of going back to the NFC Championship game, TJ, where Dan Campbell doesn't take the field goals, doesn't take the points.
Well, to put them in the Super Bowl.
I would say get as many points as you can, especially in the first half.
Well, I mean, Tampa just did it on Monday night when Bucky Irving scored with 3:46 to go. They went for two, you know, and missed it. And now they're down 17 instead of being down 16. And I'm like, but there's to say you're doing it to try and know what you have to do the rest of the game.
At that point, that's four minutes left.
So why are we doing it? Because at this point in time, you need possessions to be as few as possible for you. And what ended up happening for the Patriots, they didn't get it. And now, you need to know what you have. But now you need the ball back twice as opposed to back once. Isn't that the benefit? And I know when I'm saying this right now, there have to be some analytics people hearing what I'm saying, just shaking their heads going, you don't know the math. You don't know the odds. You don't know what you're talking about. But to me, there is a concept of taking the easier points, the less risky points, and putting the other team back on the field with the pressure of knowing momentum's not on their side. And they have to make sure we don't get the ball back once. Now Jacksonville goes out there and goes, oh, we'll just run the ball. We'll just take some time off the clock because we now know you need two possessions. And all the momentum just went out of Wembley. That's the way I looked at it. So I tweet out, I will never understand going for two until you absolutely must do it. And I got back to, well, you need to now, you know, this way, you know, if you get it, now you only need 1 point. And if you get it, You know, if you don't get it, you now know what you need to have. But what if now knowing what you need to have is not to your benefit? Because
right, right.
You need still two scores.
Yeah.
Instead of making it a one-score game and running and rolling the one time you roll the dice is the one time you have to have it. And the idea is like, well, why not roll the dice when you don't have to have it? So now you know what you have to have. I don't get it. Am I explaining it right? Because, again, I think I'm explaining it right here.
I think there's a good mix of when to do it and when to not. I'm with you for the first half at least. Like, don't give away points in the first half.
But even in the second half.
Even in early third quarter, you know, you don't need to go for two when, you know, you see sometimes teams do it. They'll go for two if they're up by six or whatever. Or up by five, they go for two.
It would have been 25-17 with 8:22 to go in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Instead, they go for two, and they're down by nine with 8:22 to go. Oh, well, now you at least know you need two more possessions. But in my estimation, it's like
one. We
only needed one if we went for the extra point with 8:22 to go. Mm. And you put Jacksonville back out there on the field saying if we go three and out or six and out, we're giving them a chance to go back now and go down the field and tie the game. So they're going to play a little tighter as opposed to, well, we got 9 points now. And sure enough, let me make sure I get this right, because I know the analytics people are very buckled up with their information. Sure enough, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars took 4:20 off the clock.
Yeah.
Eight plays, Bigsby run.
Yeah, we couldn't stop him.
You know, but so that's another reason why you have to know. So if they took 4:24 off the clock, right, the Patriots got the ball back with 3:58 to go and only one possession, that's all they need? Hmm. Isn't that a better setup? I've made my point.
I think so.
I think it is. But the idea is like, oh, you don't want to have a situation where if you go for two with 10 seconds to go and you don't get it, your game's over. If you go for two now, there's more of a runway to have an ability to make it up.
Yeah, I'm trying to find if there's like a chart or something.
There must be. And again, that's the whole thing is that why analytics people are hearing this conversation, they might be like, well, you know, there's an orifice you're talking out of and it's not the one and it's attached to your mouth.
Yeah.
Because they have these numbers and they have these stats. The same way tonight as the World Series begins, you know, who came on? It was John Boy, right? Who came on Thursday's show and said there is no way the Yankees will let Clark Schmidt or Luis Gil face the Dodgers order for a third time
right. In
the World Series. So the bullpen's going to have to be ready. But to use Ron Darling's opinion is like, oh, but it's fine if Jake Cousins and Tommy Canley and Schmeshmoms and
still can't say it
right. Or Ian Hamilton if he's healthy, or Mark Leiter Jr. It's okay if we let those guys face Mookie Betts, Otani, you know, Tim Hill faces Otani four times in the series. We're fine with that. But, oh, no, we will not let Luis Gil or Clark Schmidt face that guy for a third time in the same day. Right? That makes no sense.
The thing is, Rich, it's never going to make sense to us because, you know, we're of the Jack Morris days, the Curt Schilling days, the Dave Stewart days.
The Fernando throwing 147 Fernando. Pitches like, in Game 3 of the World Series days.
We're starters going into the eighth inning and, you know, if heaven forbid, look. Jack Morris pitched the 10th inning in a World Series game.
Right. That he won.
That's never going to happen again in our lifetime.
Ever.
And that's just the way we grew up watching and enjoying baseball, and that's not how it's played now.
And because I guess now there's more decades of analysis to know, you know, Jack Morris is clearly the outlier, but that's what I'm saying. I guess it's better if the same reliever faces the same guy only once a day over the span of 4 days rather than the same starter facing the same guy in one day three times.
That's what the binder says.
Man. Okay.
I thought it was really interesting. What was it against in the Mets Dodgers series that Edwin Diaz came in like the sixth inning to face the top of the order for the Dodgers?
Well, those things I don't mind.
I don't either. I thought it was really interesting.
You know, like at this point in time, you know,
this is a huge moment. Right.
Right.
This could be the game.
Right.
They have their best hitters coming up.
Right.
We're going to bring in our best reliever and let's go.
Because if you do this now, those guys won't get up again potentially.
Right.
If it all plays out right.
Right.
That one I don't have a problem with.
I don't either. It's just something we'd never really, you know, we wouldn't have seen that 10 years
ago. If you have belief in another guy who can come in the ninth and do the job just as effectively.
Yeah.
Right. So that one I don't mind. You know, it's the pitcher that's thrown 65 pitches, like, you know.
Well, it's Blake Snell in the World Series.
Oh, my word.
Getting taken out in the fifth or whatever it was.
Right. And Mookie Betts going, oh, great.
Oh, cool.
And then immediately doubled, right? If I'm not mistaken?
It was not good for the Tampa, whatever it was.
Yeah. Right. 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. Our friend Russell Wilson will be joining us.
Hey, we haven't talked to Russell.
Top of hour number three. It's been a while, right?
Yeah, I'm going to look
that
up.
Did we talk with him when he was in Denver? I think he did. I think we did.
I think so, but that was probably the last time.
It's his wife's birthday today, by the way.
I did see that.
You did see that?
See, yeah.
We talked about that this morning.
All right, let's take a break. I didn't notice.
I should send her these flowers.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa, easy.
Careful, man. Those are yours. Carl Anthony Towns wouldn't appreciate that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood1 to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood1.
Talk is Jericho with me, Chris Jericho, goes deep and gets personal with your favorite pro wrestlers, including MJF, Jon Moxley, Adam Copeland, Will Ospreay, Timeless Tony Storm, even Stone Cold Steve Austin. Listen to and follow Talk is Jericho on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Do it now, says the Learning Tree. Thanks, guys.
All right, everybody, we're back here on the program.
Yeah.
Okay. Your flowers are going to do what? Well, when are we thinking of tossing these babies? Because they're
this might be their final.
Is
day.
It?
Yeah. I mean, I've been
the final curtain.
I've been watering them every now and then.
Have you? Every now and then.
I mean, during the day, once every hour, I'll sit here and kind of. Add some water.
Okay, there you go.
To them.
Yeah,
so
I mean.
Nice. So that's my every now and then.
The blue ones have really held up.
Yeah.
The Cowboys
blue.
Ones.
They're standing tall. The green Eagles colors are wilting and dying. That should come as no surprise to anyone. Look at these. They're going to last forever. For at least the next 37
they
years.
They are really. They're doing very well.
That's yeah.
Right. That's right. You got to water those. Eagles flowers need water
during fertilizing.
Guys,
yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah, isn't that ironic?
All the green ones can die for all I care.
Remember but when he was blues. Talking about watering and fertilizing, and we're all like, what is this guy? This guy will never last in Philadelphia.
Nuts. His opening Sirianni. Presser was like so bizarre.
Well, because he was a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't pew, pew, pewing in the headlights.
And now Sirianni's like telling the fans to go F off. We're winning football games.
By the way, did you guys see the clip from the guy who apparently he was yelling at?
No.
He put out a statement. He basically said he was yelling
at Sirianni. The guy put out a statement?
Yeah, that he was yelling at him to run the football more.
Yeah, to run it more.
And he goes, granted, I had a few drinks. He goes, Sirianni was yelling at me. We ran it. How about that? I told you we run it. So he was like,
I see what
like
you're saying.
Yelling at me. He was just saying like, I told you we were going to run the ball.
Oh, okay.
You like that now? Almost like Kirk Cousins.
Well, why wouldn't he say that then? Because
I guess maybe he feels like
why
he didn't
wouldn't
have
Sirianni
to
say always like, you know,
defend himself on.
I don't know. You don't have to defend yourself if you're just, you know, playing along with somebody.
That's what the guy claims. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Game time tickets right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We've got a promo code. It's my first name, Rich.
Hey.
And yeah, go figure that. It's my and you would get $20 off your first purchase when you use it. And it's so easy to buy tickets using Game Time. You just pop up the event that you want. Up pops the arena or the field. And you start buying tickets. Mm-hmm. And you can have them curated on its own by Game Time Picks, which is the new curation feature that makes it easier to see your favorite teams play live. Each seat has a ticket price associated with it. And guess what? It's the all-in price. So you get to see the entirety of how much your purchase is going to be before you actually select it. And there's no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks after you download the app and create an account. Use that code I was telling you about. It's Rich. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account. Redeem my code RICH. $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it?
Game Time.
Game Time.
Ooh. Boom!
Thank you. I've got a top five list.
Hey, of course you do.
Got a top five list.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's my usual Friday. Top five most intriguing matchups of week number 8. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, we're going to do this. My top five games of week number 8 that I'm looking forward to seeing. Last night's game would have been on the list if I had done this yesterday. But we do this on Friday, giving you the rest of the schedule. And I'm choosing a game that would have been way higher up if one of the quarterbacks wasn't limited. Bears Commanders would have been threatening the top of this list. But right now, with all due respect to Marcus Mariota, I kind of feel like Marcus Mariota is the Derek White in all of this. You know, that he's being chosen instead of Jaylen Brown, and everybody thinks that Jalen should be pissed. You know what I mean? That still hasn't come home to roost yet, but I'm going to keep stirring it up.
Hey, another 20-point win last
but
night.
But if Jaden Daniels was healthy and it was a healthy him versus healthy Caleb, and it was the Bears coming off a bye going into Washington, D.C. in the Mid-Atlantic area where Caleb Williams, from which he hails, and we hailing the Commanders and the Bears, this would be way higher up. I mean, CBS put this in their late window. I believe this is Nance Romo.
Yeah.
Late window on CBS. So, but it's still fascinating. It's still 5-2, still 5-2 versus 4-2. And Jaden Daniels did have a limited practice. They pushed it pretty hard, according to Dan Quinn. We'll see how he wakes up Saturday and feels. But rest up, sir, because I'd love to see him out there. Number 4 on this list. How about a 5-2 team that's leading a division taking on a 4-3 team that's leading a division? I like it. Bills at Seahawks. Let's go.
I like it.
Western New York all the way in the Pacific Northwest. And let's see how the Seahawks follow up that highly impressive victory in Atlanta. Can they take out the Bills and go to 5-3, which would absolutely keep them in first place in their division and potentially create some space for them? So, or can the Bills go to 6-2 and just keep on keeping on? How will Amari Cooper look in game 2? What will it look like with Keon Coleman again? Josh Allen still interceptionless.
No picks.
What happened? I think it's 12 touchdowns, no picks. And right. We'll see what happens with the 12s in the building. See what I did there. I hope I'm right that I was right with the Josh Allen. I saw that stat 3 days ago. 12 interceptions, no picks, I believe. That's game number 4.
That could be a Brady game.
On my
another
list.
Number 12.
Is that right? 4:05 Eastern on Fox. Falcons and Bucks is number 3 on this list. How will the Bucks look without Godwin and Evans out? Can they rebound? They're at home in a short week. The Falcons coming off of that highly disappointing loss at home to Seattle. We all know what happened in Atlanta last time these two teams faced each other, a Week 5 Thursday nighter, the game that was on tilt, 66 points in that game. The Bucs had the Falcons right where they wanted them, couldn't finish it out. Falcons go to overtime. Kirko throws for over 500 yards. What happens this time around? And that Bucs defense that gave up 500 yards passing to Kirko, got absolutely lit up like the proverbial gas can by Lamar Jackson. This one's big because the Bucs lose this one. The Falcons go up 2.5 on them. Or 1.5, really. But it is a it's a big one. Both teams 4-3. Bucs need it to have a chance at rebounding and having a shot at winning the division. Let's get Evans back and hope that Godwin can somehow return by the end of the season. Number two on this list, because I heard that Godwin, everything worked out like it was the cleanest possible break for him, dislocation for him.
So, yeah.
Number two on this list, Eagles at Bengals. Let's go.
Yeah, this is fun.
Can the Bengals dig it out and get back to 500 here? Eagles, we all know, they eviscerated the Giants. They're feeling good about themselves after a win at home against Cleveland was one of those, you know, felt like you lost, but thank goodness you won anyway game. And can they be 5-2 and send the Bengals to 3-5? Or can the Bengals get back to 500 and have the Eagles lose this one and go back to Philadelphia licking their wounds? What do you think? I kind of dig this game. It's in 1 Eastern on CBS. I'm fascinated by it. A lot of terrific receivers in this game. T. Higgins and A.J. Brown and Jamar Chase and Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow. Let's go.
I like it.
Number one is the Sunday Nighter. Dallas Cowboys coming off their bye.
Imagine that.
Jerry Jones.
Come on, TJ.
Is in a mood.
Let's
Jerry Jones
it.
Is in a mood. And Troy Aikman says the receivers aren't running routes well. The owner's saying the route concepts are bad.
Concepts.
So we've got concepts of a route.
They're not doing well. It's not hanging in there for the Dallas Cowboys coming off the bye. Brock Purdy and the Niners, can they bounce back from their loss to the Chiefs? How many people can come back healthy for San Francisco? That's the Sunday night game. That's my top five list.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay.
Okay. I was going to put Jets and Patriots on it, but the Jets are 2-5 and the Patriots are 1-6, and I just can't do it.
It's going to be fun, but for all the wrong reasons.
I just can't do it. So I'm going Cardinals at Dolphins. Let's go Cards at Dolphins. Let's go Cardinals at 3-4. Can they get to 500? Cards coming off of a nice win at home against the Los Angeles Chargers. Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa, the battle of the ones. One's right-handed, one's left-handed. And the one that's left-handed is back after a four-game stint on injured reserve. And Tyreek Hill saying, you know, even though he was limited in practice, he's going to be back. They expect Jalen Waddle to be back, and they expect the Dolphins' offense to finally be found again. And they need this, the Dolphins. 2-5 ain't going to cut it either. So that's an early window game on Fox, and that's my top five most intriguing matchups of week number 8 list.
Cardinals could be in first place.
They could indeed.
After this week.
They can indeed.
If things break their way.
4-4.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I like it.
Hour number 3, Russell Wilson will join us, and then the second gentleman in the United States, Doug Emhoff, will zoom in. He wants to talk about his Rams. Why not?
Whose house?
It's a Rams house. That's coming up in hour number 3 on this program. Still here on our Roku Sports channel.
I'm glad nobody's brought up Syracuse.
I was going to.
Yeah, it was a rough game against Pitt.
3 pick sixes, and Rich, as you know, you never go full Schaub. And Kyle McCord went full Matt Schaub last night. What a disaster.
Pitt's pretty good. They're undefeated.
It's pretty good, 7-0. It's pretty good.
This is college football, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm done now with college football as well.
Well, Michigan State wants to make this their Super Bowl every year.
Yeah.
Michigan is Michigan State's Super Bowl. And, you know, when things are going well for Michigan, it's just like, okay, that's very nice, little brother. I'm glad we got a Super Bowl against Ohio State coming up. I'm glad we're your Super Bowls because you're not ours.
Right.
Ooh, wow.
That's the way it goes in Michigan, Michigan State. Yeah. And
does Magic Johnson know this?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
And anybody from Michigan Routine State knows this, and it pisses them off.
Yeah.
It pisses them off. You know. Glad that you consider your in-state rival your biggest rival. Not the case with Michigan.
Right.
But when Michigan State actually beats Michigan, it kind of sucks. You know, for my perspective.
I get it.
And Michigan, as Bruce Feldman rightfully said, is going to have to struggle to finish 7-5 this year. 6-6. They're staring that down right in the face, and they might even be lucky to do that the way that it's been playing. See, we can be honest with each other.
That's right.
And to ourselves.
Absolutely.
Best thing about us is it's about us.
It's about us, baby.
Bingo.
All right, Bill, we're recording now. And please put your phone on silent.
Oh, where is my phone?
Let's go, man. Okay. Get it together over there, player. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
I wouldn't say that to my son.
Just go.
All right, why would people want to listen to the Sims Complete podcast?
A father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football.
We do a lot of quarterback and coach talks. It's fun. I love doing this. It's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out on the Believe Network. Appreciate it.
Just search Believe, B-L-E-A-V, wherever you listen.